you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Hey, welcome to the Talking Metal Podcast. My name is Mark Striegel, and we are doing a best of end of the year edition here, but this is a little bit different than the best of just 2019, because of course we are at the end of the decade. And I remember as a kid, I used to listen to like Dick Clark on the AM radio, and I have this vivid memory of the end of the decade Dick Clark top whatever it was countdown show. Listening to it on WABC radio as I was driving back home from our winter vacation, and it was 1980, and I remember Dick Clark playing all the greatest songs of 1980 and listening to it for hours and hours in the car as we drove home, and it was monumental for me because, you know, I was super young in the early years of the 70s and didn't really know that music, so he turned me on to stuff, and man, Dick Clark just doesn't get as much credit as he should deserve, and as far as music goes, I mean, he's, you know, I don't know, but anyways, I'm here with Joey Haney of the Rock Strikes 10 podcast, and he is the man who is programming this episode. Joey, how are you?
Mark, I'm doing great. It's great to be here. It's one of the things I look forward to is doing the year end for Talking Metal, and I appreciate you having me back as always. It's an honor.
Random thoughts on Dick Clark.
I grew up on Dick Clark programming, like all the way, you know, even the 80s version of American Bandstand. That was definitely my safety. That was one of my big gateways to music. You know, I used to hear him on the radio too. But most importantly, yeah, like the time I would get to stay up on New Year's Eve and watch Rockin' Eve, that was a big deal for me because I was never up that late ever. So it was like that and American Bandstand. Of course, I think we talked about this on Talking Rock recently. The stuff that he would program, like, you know, he was a big part of those early MTV Video Awards and the Great American Music Awards. Those were such fun shows to watch. Not stuffy, very fan friendly. So I really appreciate those shows now for what they were.
Absolutely. And you know, he Gene Simmons always points to him as somebody who is very influential on helping Kiss reach the masses. He gave them some early breaks. And I remember on that 1980, best of the decade being the 70s, he played Kiss on that. And people don't realize it nowadays, but Kiss on the radio in the 70s, despite what all the silly movies and stuff imply, Kiss on the radio in the 70s was a very rare thing. You know, they were the silly band that the youngsters liked, you know, the hipster New York crowd, you know, who was able to accept Zeppelin and the Grateful Dead and Creedence and Pink Floyd. Like, they didn't get Kiss. And so Kiss didn't get a lot of
FM radio rock play. Sure, a little bit here and there, but nothing compared to, you know, Kansas. Nothing. You know, and yeah. And they would occasionally slip on the top 40 radio, which was a very different platform, with songs like, you know, Rock and Roll All Night. The live version slipped onto the charts for a brief second. New York Groove, I remember, by Ace Frehley, slipping onto the charts for a brief second. And of course, I Was Made for Loving You, very much on the charts as far as I remember as a little 9-year-old listening to AM radio. But then when I'd flip over to FM, Kiss was virtually untouched by the FM radio stations in the New York market in the late 70s when I started listening to those. And then when I moved to the Midwest, there was, you know, by that point, Kiss was just so uncool that there was no Kiss anywhere. I mean, no one touched Kiss, which was odd because, you know, at that point, the Ozzy solo records were getting a lot of airplay in the Midwest stations. And you know, it was definitely some hard rock stuff on the radio there. But Kiss was... you know, just not cool at that point, until they kind of reinvented themselves with Lick It Up. Then it was a different story. But anyways, enough of that. Let's talk about this past decade, Joey, because there's been some great music that's come out this past decade. I have trouble keeping up with all of it, which is why I always love having you on these year-end shows. And I know we didn't make it happen last year. It was a little crazy, but 2017 we had you on, I think 2016 too, so I'm glad you're back for 2019. So we're gonna again do it a little different. We're doing the decade. So at first I was thinking, oh, that would be 2009 through 2019, but no, we're doing the decade. So it's 2010 through this
right
year
now.
yeah, because 2009 would have, for me, would have been that Alice in Chains record was really big record that year. What was your favorite record, or are they your favorite records, Joey?
Well, what I did, and this
or
is
most important
thing.
Records, I don't know.
Yeah, well, this is a special thing I wanted to do for Talking Metal, you know, try to keep it in the format a little bit to hard rock and heavy metal. So basically just kind of like my favorite hard rock or metal things of each year. So this is actually not a spoiler for my countdown, which I'm doing at the beginning of the new decade. I just figured I'd... what made my metal year that year, basically, or something interesting that maybe enough people didn't talk about. So there's some things in here that are obvious, but there's some things in here that hopefully some people might catch on for the first time just because of the show. So I just kind of wanted to do it that way. Like, starting off here, 2010 really defined what my hard rock metal hope was for this decade. And it was a hope at this point. This was like a, wow, I hope people catch on to this band. Because after a while, some of the other bands were starting to be like, oh, yeah, check it, these guys out. And they were getting endorsed by some major acts. And so I think that helped as well. But Ghost came on the scene in 2010. And for me, and I know you're a fan as well, Mark. I mean, this I got lucky.
Yes.
I heard the first album.
I didn't really get exposed to them until that second album. And then I went back and discovered the first album. But yes, I love Ghost. My favorite band of modern time, for sure.
Yeah. And hearing that first album with that intro, and it's like, and even the production on the first album to the second album jumps quite a bit. But at the same time, I feel like it was very authentic and it made sense. But man, just the rawness of that first album, you could tell they're recording on like old stuff. You know, it's all on tape. I mean, if it's on Pro Tools, that's ridiculous if it is. But it just sounds like it's like old boards, old 2-inch tape, that kind of stuff. Even the equipment, the guitars, like everything sounds vintage on that thing. And it, you know, people were comparing them to Sabbath. Some people were comparing them to Merciful Fate, but I think that's more of a visual thing, honestly. I don't really hear a lot of Merciful Fate in there. And the
right.
First album,
I mean, I can hear some of that Merciful Fate, like rawness that Merciful Fate had on those first two albums. I could see that. But yeah, no, I'm with you. If Merciful Fate is an influence, I feel like it's a subtle, more minor influence.
Yeah, probably just a European thing also, you know, just because they are from Sweden, and which isn't too far from where Merciful Fate made it from, you know, initially. But yeah, I mean, you hear tons of 70s classic rock, especially Blue Oyster Cult, of course. I mean, like, really hearing Ritual for the first time. And I'm like, this could easily be in the best of the Blue Oyster Cult catalog right there. Cause
yeah, I hear so people say that a lot. Catchy. I don't know Blue Oyster Cult enough, honestly, to comment on that. But I don't know. To me, I don't hear it. But again, I'm not anybody who's an authority on Blue Oyster Cult. Quite the opposite. But sure. Yeah, I hear that. Reference a lot.
Yeah, and just for me, my personal taste over the years, like what I like in my classic metal bands, and something that, you know, definitely I think got lost at the beginning of the 2000s really is the lack of pop sensibility,
right?
And you know, I'm a guy like, yeah, I love like a record like Screaming for Vengeance by Priest, which gets heralded a lot, but I also equally love you know, Point of Entry and Turbo and things like that. That might be taking it to extremes, but Point of Entry, you know, is record. The unheralded,
especially side one of that. So good.
Yeah. And in that canon of like that run that they had, you know, with Defenders and, you know, and of course British Steel, like that one is kind of like the least favorite of the four of that run. But I think it's such a cool, fun record, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that they were just writing hooks, you know. And so taking something like this, and I was trying to sell people on Ghost much in the same way I would try to sell people on System of a Down prior to the 2000s, like throwing in all these different genres and people looking at me confused. So it's like, hey, check out this Swedish satanic pop metal band, they're really good, you know. So right, and now right. Of course they've just taken over everything, which is awesome. But it started with Opus Eponymous, and, you know, I've been really enjoying the journey. I know some people, some old school people, quote, old school people for this band have maybe fallen off. But, you know, I've enjoyed everything I've heard. The second album is probably the best overall. Maybe. I don't know. But it depends on the day.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but 2010 really kicked it off with Ghost for me. And so I was really happy that they came into my metal life here. So
right, me yeah. too. A great band, and so many good songs off of that first Ghost record, as you've mentioned. I want to play one. I don't know what you have picked out, Joey, but I would do anyone but Ritual, just because I feel like that's kind of overplayed. Satan's Prayer, Stand By Him are both great numbers. What are you thinking?
Yeah, both of those are great. So you go with what you want, man. I have no problem with anything on this record.
Let's do this one. This is called Satan Prayer, again, by Ghost from 2010 here on Talking Metal.
Believe in one God, do we? Satan Almighty.
With Satan, whose kingdom shall have a prayer for the coming of seed. Here I say a prayer, our undying to see you creed. Here I say a prayer for the coming of seed.
Talking Metal, I am with Joey Haney, who has his own podcast, the Rock Strikes 10 podcast, available on all your favorite podcasting apps and platforms. And we are counting down the decade. We just heard some Ghost from 2010, the best of the decade, guys, as picked by Joey Haney. And we're trying to make this not be a super long 3-hour episode. So let's keep things moving. Let's move on to 2011. Take us back, Joey. What was going on in 2011? What was the definitive album of that year for you as far as hard rock and metal go?
This one's easy for me. My favorite of the big four, and that's Anthrax.
Right.
And I don't know a lot of bands that could be 30 years into the game, and they were legit 30 years into the game at this point, with arguably, I would argue, this might be their best album, maybe even ever, and that's Worship Music. That might be considered a bold statement, but this album had everything going against it, and I still think it just killed. There's not a weak track on it, and I remember buying it the day it came out, through the put the CD in the computer, put it on the iPod, and I was like in the dark listening to it, kind of like going through the lyric sheet, also like doing it old school. And I remember being at the end of it and being like, oh, there's still some time on there. And Anthrax have done ghost tracks before, and some of them have been kind of a letdown, a snippet of a song, little instrumental piece maybe. Then they throw in a cover of Refused New Noise. So you take this perfect album and right. You put like, oh, a band that does great covers as well, doing one of my favorite songs ever. So for me, this is just a 10 or a 100, depending on how you score things. And it's just a super strong record. Great hooks. The riffs are killer. The production's amazing. The fact that they didn't even conceive this album with Joey Belladonna even in mind at the beginning of it. And he comes in last minute and puts down his best stuff at that point, I think.
Right, right. Yeah, now correct me if I'm wrong, but the way it played out was at some point earlier, like 2004, 2005, Anthrax do a reunion with Dan Spitz, I believe, and Joey Belladonna. That kind of falls apart. They kind of flounder a little bit there with what to do with the vocals. I wouldn't say it falls apart. It plays its course, but they are pretty confident that they're not going to do anything new with Joey Belladonna. They're singer from the classic era of Anthrax. They get some guy, Dan Nelson, and then there's some spat in the press with him. It doesn't work out, but and he had recorded the record with him, I believe, and wrote the record with him, which is kind of interesting. You have to wonder how much of his songwriting played into making this great. We may never know, but Joey comes in and tweaks the songs, does a little writing with them, and lays down all the vocals at the last minute, as you said, and they come out with a great record and kind of their return, their first record in a long time too. At that point, they'd been without a record for like 8-9 years or something like that. So interesting. And I'm always curious to how much was Dan Nelson's involvement in this record, and did it have anything to do with it being so great, because they do credit him as a songwriter on a lot of the tracks. So
And as far as I know, and that's like, I guess, like the Netflix version also, like, of the bio, that there was actually 4 singers that were attached or have at least worked on some of this album, but by the time it was said and done,
right?
So after Joey doesn't work out, the obvious thing is, well, we'd like to bring John back. And, you know, they did, I think the last 2 albums they did with John, Volume 8 and We've Come For You All, were amazing.
We've Come For You All was great, yeah.
Yeah, records that are still waiting to be discovered, in my opinion. But so the thing with John is John had, like, started a family recently, and he also was getting good jobs. Like, he did the Burger King spots, and that was good money. And so it's kind of one of those things where he, you know, maybe he felt a little slight. I'm just theorizing here. So he was like, no, you know, I'm going to stay home. So even though I think he did do some stuff, he did a few shows with them. But then the Dan Nelson thing, just, they did the whole album with him. They even did B-sides with him. They did everything with him. I actually saw one of the very few Dan Nelson shows.
Wow.
At Rocklahoma 2009. But even...
Oh, I didn't even know they did shows with him. Wow.
They did about 6, I want to say, maybe even less. But yeah, I saw one of those Dan Nelson shows. And yeah, he was not going to work out. Nothing really wrong with him vocally, but he was kind of a Phil Anselmo type, and it just didn't have that fun feel to it the way it should, you know, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a bummer, but right. I'm kind of glad it didn't work out, honestly.
Right.
But then also, Corey Taylor was going to come in and sing on this album. Don't know if that was before or after Nelson. I think it might have even been after. But Corey's a massive Anthrax fan. I saw him watch an entire Anthrax set from the side of the stage on the soundboard, singing every lyric.
Wow.
And so he was going to be the guy that sang on this. It was, you know, one of those things, they say it's legal bullshit. So it didn't happen. But imagine what that would have been. Definitely more attention would have been put to it, for sure. But, you know, so that literally 4 people had a kind of a shot at this album. Going back to Joey, and of course, you know, changing their own dialogue to be like, no, Joey's the guy. This is the classic sound.
Right.
But at the same time, the fact that this album is as good as I think it is kind of a miracle, because, like, you know, I'm sure Joey had zero input on the creativity of this. Maybe he threw in some lyrics, who knows?
Yeah, well, they did give him a songwriting credit, so it must be something that he did, you know?
Yeah. But it sounds like a true, strong band effort, and that's to their credit, just to how good they are. But this album is just... I call it a perfect metal album. I truly believe that it is. It's
cool.
Great.
Worship Music from 2011 by Anthrax. We can't not play a song off of it at this point. So what can we hit off this album, Joey?
Well, just like any perfect album, it kind of peaks in the middle, and I think that's for In the End. In the End is like the song that defines this album for sure.
From 2011 here on Talking Metal. All the music picked by Joey Haney on this episode. Joey, big shout out to your podcast, the Rock Strikes 10 podcast. Where can people get in touch with you guys? Where's the best place to hook up with you?
Well, the main site is cnjradio.com. Of course, you know, we're on Apple Podcasts. We have 6 podcasts, by the way, on cnjradio.com. But also, for the first time ever, we are on Spotify, so you can actually get every episode of Rock Strikes 10 on Spotify as well. And, of course, at the beginning of the decade, we'll be doing the top 100 of the decade. So if you like music, check out the 10-parter at the beginning of the decade.
All right.
Well, I had my nerve, for sure.
So, I always enjoy your shows. Please keep up the good work with the Rock Strikes 10 podcast. And thank you for handpicking the best of the decade here on Talking Metal. 2012, we're not going to go into too much detail here, but let's talk about what you liked in 2012. The album of the year for you was...
It was a band from Austin, Texas, closer to my neck of the woods. They're called The Sword. And they came into the beginning of the decade with some good buzz. They even got on the Metallica tour for Death Magnetic, if I'm not mistaken. And I think pretty much soon after that, they put out this album called Apocryphon. And that might be the best metal album of 2012. The Sword is interesting because as much as I love this album, I was like, man, this is one of those bands that's going to rule the decade.
Yeah.
And the follow-up to this didn't really, not so much. It's one of those albums that you, like, maybe I just didn't get it the first time, but then you listen to it again, you're like, no, it just didn't really happen. So it's kind of one of the more disappointing things from this decade. But hopefully it doesn't deter from the fact that Apocryphon by The Sword was one of the better metal albums of the decade, especially of 2012. I even said it has a Sabbath meets Devo thing going on sometimes. Yep. Definitely the Sabbath influence is there. I know they're big Melvins fans too. So if you know, just like that doom, but also like classic metal sound, this is a cool album people should definitely check out. You'll hear it on my countdown for sure at the end of at the beginning of the decade there.
Cool.
So
and moving on to 2013. Hardcore Superstar is your pick. Tell us the name of the album and why it was so great.
Yeah, this is a band that if you're a fan of hooks and the old Sunset Strip feel, and it's one of those things, once again, much like with Ghost, they're from Sweden.
Right.
And
yeah, because you hear the name, you think, I don't know, just reeks of like Hollywood and Sunset Strip, you know?
Yeah, and this should be a terrible band because their name isn't that great. It's very generic. It's very 2000, like guys that wear those star shirts and the cowboy hats, you know? And, and it's just like, oh, this is going to be terrible. But
yeah, because you hear that name and I'm like, oh, what are they, Papa Roach style or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You would expect that for sure. But these guys, like, you know, if you're a fan of Classic Crew and Faster Pussycat and the best LA Guns albums and all those things, plus that lead guitar player, man, that guy is underrated. He is a shredder and a half, but he doesn't ever, like, he doesn't, you know, over put himself on the record. Like, he'll throw it down when he needs to, but he's very tasteful, and that's very important for a rock guitar player, in my opinion.
And there's...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, finish your thought, because I want to hit a song off of this for sure.
Yeah, but the album they put out in this year, 2013, Come On, Take On Me, or Come On, Take Me On?
Come On, Take Me On, yeah.
Yeah. And that was, this is the one that I really took notice of. I had heard him on the Rock and Roll Geek Show and some other shows, but man, it was like a revelation when I heard the song Above the Law, because I think I told you in text, this might be my favorite song of the entire decade.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's a bold statement. So we definitely need to listen to that. Tell us again, it's Above the Law by Hardcore Superstar from 2013 off the Come On, Take Me On album. According to Joey Haney, this is possibly the best song of the decade. That's a big statement. So cool, man. Let's check it out right now on Talking Metal. Superstar with the song Above the Law. And just confirming, that is the name of the song, because in the text you sent me, it says Above the Caw.
Oh, well, thank you, autocorrect. when have I ever typed the word caw?
Caw.
Oh, this is, yeah, we are above, in modern times, for
above
sure.
The
yes,
law.
Above the Law.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I figured.
Yeah, that's one of those songs I swear the first time I heard it, it was in the car, and I probably repeated it until I got to work, and I had it on full blast. And to this day, if I come across it or I seek it out, it probably gets played a minimum of like 3 or 4 times. It's that good. Catchy as shit. I love it.
So. Right on. 2014 is for Joey Haney, the year of Devin Townsend. Let's talk about this. Is this like, you got 3 albums for this year? Are they like, break it down for us. 2014.
If you know anything about Devin Townsend, he's the prolific guy in heavy metal. Like, and heavy metal is limiting to a guy like him in a sense. I mean, this is a guy that started playing with Vi, who started playing with Zappa. So it's that kind of a thing, like a true artist. He put out 3 albums in 2014, and they're all completely different.
Right.
And this is his peak, in my opinion. So I'll break them down real quickly, because really only, like, I mean, 2 of them are kind of metal, and 1 of them is not at all. So we'll start with that one. He put out an album called Casualties of Cool. And this is one of those albums that truly you cannot put a pin on it and be like, it's this. You have to talk about 4 different genres. I think he described it as a science fiction, Americana, country, very little rock, acoustic bass. It's, you know, it's a weird album, but I love it. It's so different. It's the most original album I probably heard the entire decade. So if you're adventurous, check out his album. It's not even under his name. It's just called Casualties of Cool. That's the only way you're going to find it.
Right.
So I actually did this one at the dentist office, because it's one of those albums, if you got the nitrous cranked up, because I don't, you know, I'm not a drug guy. So I wanted to, this is one of those albums I wanted to check out in that kind of state of mind. So it works on both levels.
Right. Okay.
So there you go. A little interaction you could do with that one. But he put out,
save
then he
it
put
for
out
the
a
dentist's
double,
office. Yeah.
Yeah. I did that one in Paul's Boutique. You got to do those on hardcore heavy nitrous. Just right. A little.
What is nitrous again? That's the gas stuff you breathe in?
Yeah. It's just like, you know, right. The stuff that's supposed to numb you, you know, so you don't feel too much.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Just make sure you request extra nitrous, and then they'll usually do it without okay. charging you, because they understand really? They don't want you to scream.
Right.
So. But then Devin, as far as like a physical release, he put out this double album, but they were 2 separate albums. But it was cool that I was able to buy them like kind of like a 2-for-the-price-of-1 thing. So it was under the name Z2. And so if you're looking for the CD, you're going to look for something called Z2. But the 2 albums that are separate but together, one's called Dark Matters and the other is called Sky Blue. So Dark Matters is a sci-fi concept metal opera.
Yeah, some really great hooks and stuff on there too, some great production. Yeah. Really excellent record.
Yeah, about an alien that, you know, I don't want to get into it, but it's a concept,
a little cheesy at times, but I love cheese, you know,
massively cheesy. And Chris Jericho plays a role in it, like there's acting in it. So it's a weird record, but it's really neat, super original. And then there's one that's more of the basic, like Devin Townsend sound, but with a little more hooks in it. That one's called Sky Blue, almost Alan Parsons Project-ish at times, but also, you know, keeping with, you know, the heavy epic sound of the Devin Townsend Project. So he's an interesting guy. I love him.
Absolutely. And like you said, been giving us really great groundbreaking music for so long, going way back to Steve Vai through Strapping Young Lad, through the solo stuff, the Devin Townsend Project and Devin Townsend Band and everything else. So, and just plain old Devin Townsend. So yeah, great, great artist and performer, and definitely put out some just potent music back in 2014. Let's, do you have a song from that one?
No, I'm just going to say these are full albums that need to be
listened
to.
So let's not,
broken up.
Let's because we are limited on time, let's not play anything from that. We'll encourage the listeners to go check that out on their favorite streaming services, or download it, or find the CD or whatever. 2015, kind of the swan song for one of the greatest hard rock bands, a band that always said they didn't like to be considered metal. So who are we talking about here?
It's a band. Yes, they play rock and roll. It's Motorhead.
Right.
And yes, this was the final album for Motorhead in 2015. It was called Bad Magic. I got to say,
and it was awesome. They, really course, good stuff.
Yeah. They you know, were on a album cycle. You know, they never stopped putting records out pretty much every year or every other year. And where they put out, I think, three in this decade, I think the last one was the best one. Yep. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know what you're getting, but it was a little bit higher quality on this one, in my opinion. And not that the other ones weren't good. It's almost like a, you know, like a 7 out of 10 scale versus an 8 or a 9 or something like that. So still very good. Good note to go out on. Of course, we all miss Lemmy, but, you know, don't weep for Lemmy. You know, he lived his life, and he gave us a ton of stuff. We're very thankful for him and grateful for him. And, so just crank up some Motorhead. Bad Magic if you're going to do something new. It's weird how they're, like, of all the albums they ever did, and then they finish off the album with Sympathy for the Devil.
Right.
You know, yeah. It's like, okay, yeah, that makes total sense. Why not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we will, let's see, have we played it? We'll play one for the next one. Let's move ahead. 2016. All right. Yeah. So let's talk about this. A lot of good stuff, actually, according to you, came out in 2013. Gojira, right?
16, yeah.
What did I say?
You said 13.
Oh, 2016. Sorry. 2000. Yeah. Anyways, 2016. What was going on that year?
You know, this, I had a hard time just picking one. I will get it down to one, but I did want to mention a few of them. A lot of younger bands, newer bands, maybe some not so new, but like by comparison to what we normally talk about, you know, like Motorhead and Priest and stuff like that.
So this is a three-way tie for 2016? Is that what's going on?
It kind of is, but okay. I do have a favorite amongst the three. I just wanted to mention them to the listeners. Check out a band from Philadelphia called Nothing. The album is called Tired of Tomorrow. They have three albums out actually from this decade, but Tired of Tomorrow is the record to get by them. It's so good. It's definitely got, for metal guys, if you're more into the Deftones, it's got a lot of elements of that. I don't know if they would even appreciate that comparison, but that with mixed with some of the more heavy alternative, people call it shoegaze sometimes, like Jesus and Mary Chain and Hum and bands like that. But it's a really, really good record, a wall of sound of guitars. So you really should check that album out. It was one of my favorites of the whole decade. And then all the way over there in France, Gojira, who's been around for a while. But I think this album, Magma, is probably their best album. But once again, like, it's a little more melodic than their other albums have been. So that's just me. But Magma is a good one to check out if you haven't heard that one yet.
And great album and just a great live band. If you've never seen them live, I've now seen them, I think, twice. Yeah, twice. Once in Montreal, once in New Jersey. And just fantastic band live. So good. And I love their some, you know, I know we got a lot of people all over the political spectrum and stuff, but I love that they're kind of politically charged, and they're, you know, they're very environmentally friendly, but do it with this fierce attack. There's something really cool about Gojira. I think they're a great band.
Yeah, good point too. That's like the guys over near me, Power Trip. Like, you would think that they would be total meatheads, but they're not. So. Yeah. Right. But speaking of Texas, the one, I think 2016, the best album. And I'll build this up a little bit because I'm trying not to be that old guy, you know, like a little bit sometimes. I try to help. If I'm going to like talk bad about a band or something like that, I'm going to try to have an answer to the problem. So, of course, one of the big to-dos this decade as it concerns like newer rock bands is like the rising of Greta Van Fleet and how divisive they are. You know, some people love them. Some people are like, really? I think we kind of heard this already. So I'm kind of more into the, like, not that big of a fan of theirs. If it, the same, and I did the same thing with Wolf Mother for the obvious reason.
Right. We can't stand Wolf Mother, but yeah.
Right? It's so
Horrible. And people love them. People think they're the greatest thing ever. Yeah. They're like,
so for you, Zeppelin
Queens
guys,
of the Stone Age and Wolf Mother are great. I'm like, are you even mentioning those two bands in the same fucking sentence? I mean, it's like one a brilliant artist, the other one's like a freaking clone. I mean, I can't stand Wolf Mother.
Yeah. So, like, for those guys that, like, if you really want Zeppelin back, you need to find it with a little bit more creativity. And I think this band has it. So there's a band from Austin, Texas. They have two albums out and hopefully another one on the way because it's been, like, almost 4 years now. But this band, Scorpion Child. If you haven't heard Scorpion Child, you got to go check them out. I think they even did some shows with Ace, by the way, this year. Their second album, Acid Roulette, it's just one of the best albums I've heard. Whether you're just a rock and roll guy or a metal guy, I think equal parts, people will love this record if they give it a shot.
Cool. All right. Well, without further ado, let's hit a song. You gave me three bands. What are you feeling?
Yeah, let's stick with Scorpion Child. Okay. It's the last song on the album, which I feel like I'm almost kind of spoiling the album, but this is the one I would play for people, so let's just do it. It's called Addictions.
Come and take my hand and understand that we are one. We'll be right back.
was a little Scorpion Child with Addiction. Scorpion Child, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Good stuff, Joey. Thank you for all the hard work you've done programming this episode and combing through the decade 2010 to the end of 2019, picking us out some great music. I am excited for your reveal here for 2017, which is what we're up to now, because this is a band you turned me on to, and they've had a number of records, but this one specifically that came out in 2019, I just thought was so good. Tell us the album and the band, if you don't mind, Joey.
The album is Amber Galactic and the band is the Night Flight Orchestra. And I first heard about these guys on Denko Jones's podcast, actually, with the singer on there. And I wasn't a fan of Skindred, I think is the band.
Right.
I don't even know.
Yeah, made up of members of, you know, Arch Enemy and Skindred and who else?
Yeah.
Somebody else.
I don't know. It's like a quasi supergroup, but more like a European modern metal thing. But
is it Soilwork? Soilwork, right?
Soilwork. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I Skindred. Skindred fans.
Soilwork.
But I almost wasn't even going to listen to that episode of Denko Jones, but like I went ahead and listened to it, and I'm so glad I did, because maybe I would have never gotten into this band. And I didn't hear one song by this band for a whole hour. Just heard him describe the journey and how he would be on tour with these bands and talk about AOR rock from the 70s and 80s and how the concept was, let's build a band like that. And it's almost like I theorize that they just write down a whole bunch of bands and put them in a hat,
yeah.
Pick one out, and like, we're going to write a song that sounds like this. And it could range from Elton John and Toto to Kiss and Journey, and like it doesn't stray too far from AOR 75 through 85.
Yeah, I mean, they got that yacht rock thing going at times, but they also have, like you said, like a Kiss, Cheap Trick, you know, it's like a Journey, you hear, I mean, it's like there's so much stuff thrown in the pot, and it just, this album, again, if there's one album by this band you're going to check out, or do this one, because again, just such a great album. The Night Flight Orchestra, Amber Galactic. So good. So good.
What's your favorite song on this album?
I don't know. There's a lot of them. I really feel like it's like the album that you can just kind of listen to all the way through. I have the vinyl of this, which has a bonus track, Just Another Night by Mick Jagger cover, which is brilliant. I think I like it better than the Mick Jagger cover, and I love the Mick Jagger version, and I love the Mick Jagger version. But I think maybe Sad State of Affairs. I'm not sure. There's a lot of great stuff. What about you? What are your favorites?
That's a good one. I think that's not a bad intro to them if you're not familiar. Sad State of Affairs is a pretty good one.
All right.
We should do that.
Let's do it right now on Talking Metal. This is the Night Flight Orchestra from, 2017, right?
Yeah.
With the song Sad State of Affairs off of the greatest album of 2017, Amber Galactic. Here we go. right, you're listening to Talking Metal's Best of the Decade as programmed by Joey Haney. He has his own podcasts, plural. But for an intro for music lovers, I suggest checking out the Rock Strikes 10 podcast. Always great music and insight on that podcast by Joey Haney. We also do the Talking Rock podcast together, Joey and I, which is a talk-based podcast, which you can listen to on talkingrock.net and also subscribe to it on your favorite podcasting platforms. It doesn't come out on a regular weekly basis like Talking Metal. It's kind of like when we do it and then we give it to you guys. So yes, stay subscribed and check your feed, because the you're usually getting at least an episode or two a month from us on Talking Rock. So great stuff. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us on this episode, Joey, and provide us with some of the best music of the decade. Of course, guys, we want to hear what you think some of the best music of the decade was. Please hit us up on Twitter at talkingmetal.com and remind me of some of the great music that came out this past decade. And maybe we'll share some of those tweets and Facebook comments and stuff on a future episode of this podcast. Oh, there goes my phone. Somebody's hitting me up on Patreon. Mike Jones. Yeah. And that's another way to support what I do, is the Patreon page. If Talking Metal and Talking Rock, if those two podcasts aren't enough for you, I do a weekly podcast. And even like my dog died yesterday, which fucking sucked. And the day, you know, you probably won't hear this until a few weeks from now, but I even forced myself to do a podcast, which was the last thing I wanted to do. And that was the weekly Mark Striegel Show podcast, which is exclusive to our patrons on Patreon. And that hits every single Friday at 6 a.m. You get that podcast. So there you go. Check me out there. And of course, you don't get it unless you contribute at least $2 a month to our Patreon page. And if you do $5 a month, you get the podcast, and you also get a t-shirt sent out to you. And we have lots of great discussion. I try to get up a weekly exclusive video where I'm ranting and raving to the patrons too, although I haven't been too great with that the last couple weeks, but I'll make sure that happens. And yeah, so Patreon, a great place to support what I do with this podcast and the other podcasts. So anyways, we are up to 2018, Joey.
Yeah. Oh, what's by the way.
On? Yeah. Just
other quick with the plugs. I love, if you're like me and you ever scroll through YouTube and they show like the quick movements of some of the videos to try to entice you to watch it.
Yeah.
I always get a kick out of seeing you show up as I'm scrolling through for Mark in the Minivan and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I've been trying to do more of those. Oh, cool. Some people don't like those because they say I'm too negative. I've had people like criticize me and send me, "Are you okay? You seemed really upset." I will say,
in these towns, come on. Like,
yeah.
You just can't help it.
I my goal with Mark in the Minivan was to kind of, I used to hate Andy Rooney on 60 Minutes because I thought he was just over the top and crazy. But that was kind of my goal with just a short little rant. They usually end up being more than 2 minutes. They end up going on for like 5 to 10 minutes. But just kind of like a stream of consciousness, little rant on something or another, reviews and stuff. So Yeah. Good stuff. Thank you. At least I think they're good. But thanks for the Mark and the Minivan plug. Lots of Mark Striegel stuff out there. If you want it, you can find it. Anyways, we are on to 2018 with Joey's picks from the decade. I don't have my phone opened here, so tell me again, what was the 2018 pick for you?
Well, it's easy enough. I mean, I'm a little guilty of, I'm not as current on these latest 2 years as I probably should be. And I will have that rectified by the top 100 countdown, I promise.
Okay.
It will be a very scientific list. But I say it's a pretty easy one to go with. This is probably not too much of a risk to put it on for the year. And I know you had an interesting journey with this album as well. It's Firepower by Judas Priest. You know, I was a little let down by Redeemer of Souls. I thought that, you know, it had the potential, as if I could use a cliche, I honestly, and I usually hate when people will talk about the production because I feel like that's kind of a, you know, get out easy kind of thing. But right. Honestly, I think the production did suffer on Redeemer of Souls. But man, came back in a big way on Firepower. It had a little bit of everything from the history of the band, in my opinion. And, you know, I just really enjoyed this album a lot. It always puts me in a good mood. It feels like, you know, the Mighty Priest. And, you know, so I just love it on that principle. So I had to go with Firepower.
Absolutely. Andy Sneap did a great job of guiding them with that record and then actually joining the band kind of as at least temporary member. And great record. Definitely one of the best hard rock heavy metal records of the year for me. I will, even though this isn't my my picks on this show, I will just give a big shout out for me. That year was all about Ghost again with Prekel, and it was a very poppy record for Tobias, the, you know, Andrew Lloyd Webber man behind the scenes for Ghost. He really was out to prove himself because, you know, the lawsuit, the band had kind of broken up and he had claimed there never was a band, and other guys claimed that Ghost was a band and were suing him. So this was really a step for him to really show himself as an artist and to prove he didn't need whoever these other guys were that were in the band that were claiming they were responsible for the Ghost sound, which they may or may not have been. I have theories on that. It's a whole nother discussion. But yeah. I thought Prekel, and it's a pop record. It really is a pop record. But I love things off of every Ghost record. But there was something, I don't know, maybe it was my emotional state of 2018, but there's something that connected with me on that record like no other record in recent times. So I did want to just give a big shout out to that record and say that without question was my favorite album of the year. And for me personally, no other album came close. But Firepower, having said that, great record and in some ways more straight ahead hard rock and heavy metal. Although I do think the Ghost record had, you know, some great metal elements on it and some great pop hooks, you know. So there you go.
And that's a good full circle because, you know, it's hard to not talk about Ghost because they put out like what, 4 studio albums, 2 EPs and a double live album. They pretty much had almost something out every year. And that's why I had that mentality of this is why I love this band. It has that Kiss thing, you know, it's like there's always something out. And even that mystique that they had like Kiss for the longest time. I mean, the fact that they kept it up that long in this day and age, you know, in the social media world and everybody's got a camera, like the fact that they kept it going that long and we didn't know who they were, and the fact that it took legalese for all the reveal to happen. I mean, yeah, people knew kind of for a while it was Tobias, but still didn't know who the other people were either.
Right on.
But I definitely want to shout out to the live album. A lot of people probably haven't even gotten that live album.
That's a great Ceremony record, recorded in San Francisco. Yep, great stuff.
Yeah, that's like their Kiss Alive. It's like a double live album. It catches you up on the first 3 albums. It's great. And the vinyl packaging is tremendous, by the way, if you're a fan of that stuff. So
right. Well, I'll tell you what, before we go off on it's too late now. We've gone off on a Ghost tangent, but I want to speak a little bit more about Ghost, but let's hit something off of Firepower.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
What do you want to hit?
Let's do Rising from Ruins.
Great one.
That to me is the peak of the album. It's so epic and it's a little bit of everything. It could have, there's a little bit of Sin After Sin. There's some Painkiller. It's just, I love it.
Yes. Yeah. And this was an important record for me. I truly believe and was told that I was the first person one of the first people in the country to hear the record. And I've gone through that story before. I interviewed Scott from Judas Priest. And before I did the interview, many months before the record came out, they had me sit down and listen to it. I believe it was actually in 2017 that I heard it. But anyways, great stuff. And here we go. A little Judas Priest from 2018 here on Talking Metal.
From years of self-denying, lost in chaos before the storm.
you so much for delivering so many important records, stuff that people may have overlooked and not remembered. And you know, you're bringing back memories for me. So it was a great decade for music, and I appreciate all the hard work you do promoting the bands and the music we love, not only here on Talking Metal, but on your own platforms such as the Rock Strikes 10 podcast and on our Talking Rock podcast. It's always great hanging with you. I will just go on record saying that my favorite music, the four studio albums, the live album, the EPs that they put out, without a doubt, of the past decade has been Ghost. I think no one comes close for me. And I'm glad we had you do this list and not me, because it would have been Ghost, 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 and more Ghost. So there you go. I highly recommend, just my own personal thing, for anyone wanting to hear the greatest music recorded of the decade is Ghost. And go to any of their releases and check that shit out, because it was just fantastic and still is fantastic, and I look forward to another decade with Ghost. I will say that 2019 was an interesting year. You suggested maybe I pick out a song for 2019, right, Joey?
Yeah, just to shadow the fact that album. I haven't done my homework yet. Yeah,
so everything on this episode has been picked by Joey, with the exception of the best of 2019. I will say some friends of mine really put out great music this year. Of course, Dan Lorenzo I'm looking at it right here. Dan puts out so much new music, I forget. Oh, Vessel of Light. Yeah. Was some strong riffage on that record, Thy Serpent Rising. And these are friends of mine. I'm giving a shout out to them. Ron Keel had some great music out with the Ron Keel Band. I do like it when you guys support my friends. Altitude and Attitudes by my friend Frank Bello from Anthrax. So there's a lot of great stuff out there. And I would encourage you guys to check that stuff out. And for me, the best album of 2019, as far as heavy, loud rock goes, everyone always debates, are they metal? Are they not metal? Or what are they? Is Tool, Fear Inoculum. A great record. I was lucky enough to score one of the few physical copies of the CD, which the packaging is just like nothing I've ever seen. You open it up, there's like a video screen that starts playing images inside. I'm holding it right now. Just absolutely insane. And the music was just... I'm opening it right now. I guess it takes a minute for the video to kick in. I thought maybe you guys... Yeah, you hear all sorts of weird stuff. But absolutely great, great album. And I really, really love it. And we will end with the title track off of that. This is Fear Inoculum by Tool. As always, thank you, Joey, for contributing and your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Talking Metal, still the best. And it's always an honor to be on. And I'll just quick plug... Top 100 albums of the decade, rock, hard rock, metal, punk, and otherwise, at the beginning of 2020 on Rock Strikes 10.
Right. Subscribe to that today on your favorite podcasting outlets. I always want to say iTunes, but I guess technically, if you're not on a actual desktop or laptop computer, iTunes no longer gives you podcasts. You have to get the Apple podcasting app for that, which everyone was worried that was gonna hurt download numbers. It hasn't for Talking Metal, thankfully. And I like the Google podcasting app too, by the way, guys. That's a great platform to get your podcasts on. And that'll do it. This is Tool with Fear Inoculum. For all the music that is going to be released in 2020, go to talkingrock.net. Every Friday, we'll have the new releases up for you with samples that you can listen to, and we kind of try to handpick the stuff we think you guys would be interested in. So remember, 2020 is going to have a lot of great new music. Oh, you know what else was great from 2019? That Kane Roberts record. I thought that
was a fun record.
Yeah, it was really good. And I may actually come back and just kind of recap some of the stuff that was released in 2019 on another episode. I'm not sure if I'll have time for that before the end of the year, but in theory, I like to think I'm going to do that too. But anyways, happy new year, guys, and have a great, safe holiday, and we'll talk to you more. We'll see you in 2020. Thank you, Joey.
Thank you.
This is Tool from 2019.
So.